topic this morning is standing firm in godly affections. Standing firm in godly affections. And of course, if you were a grammar Nazi, you would accuse me of not using an adverb when I should, so it should be printed standing firmly in godly affections, okay? Whichever it is, we are to stand firm. Now, the Christian life is a battle. It's a battle. But the greatest battle is not external. It is internal. It's the battle for the heart and the mind. Now, in our study of Philippians, we've considered many things, among which we saw that the Christian must have a great confidence in God for the church. Yeah, you know, churches all over the world have problems, right? Would I be lying if I said our church had no problems? Right? Either I'm lying or I'm blind. Right? The church is not perfect, but you know what? We will get there. We will get there. That's what the Bible tells us, that each one of us will be purified, will be made holy. So even if we're not perfect now, we will be. But often when there are problems, when we do not guard our hearts, when we do not guard our minds against discouragement, what happens? Oh, our church, so many problems. I think it's time to look for another one, right? Now, we also saw that the Christian, in the midst of adversity, when we go through problems in our lives, we must live tenaciously for Christ. We must live the gospel. When adversities come, we must discipline ourselves to look to Christ. But what often happens? Oh, when adversities come to us in our lives, we let our mind and our hearts go the way of grief. We let it go the way of anger. We let it go the way of complaints. Oh, my life is so hard. You know? And we also saw the necessity in church especially to preserve unity by fighting against disunity, by fighting against selfishness, by fighting against competitiveness. Oh, you might say, well, the church is such a perfect place. There's no competition. There's no politics in church. Rubbish. It happens, doesn't it? We're competitive. There's disunity. But when we discipline our minds, these things ought to lessen. But unfortunately, when we have issues with people, what do? We stir our hearts and the hearts of other people against our adversaries. We make hasty judgments, and we trust in our judgments. You see, folks, we are people who live by our emotions. We make many decisions based on our gut feel. We're exactly like Eve in the garden. Ooh, the fruit, pretty. Ooh, the fruit, good for food. Oh, the fruit, able to make me wise. Jesus was different. Ooh, the stones, I can't turn them into bread. Ooh, the kingdoms of the world, I can't worship Satan. Ooh, I'm God's son. If I were to cast myself down, the angels will come, but I can't tempt God. We do not live by emotions. We live by obedience. But often we live by our gut feel. And that is not Christian maturity. Instead, we are to live according to God's word, regardless of circumstances. The Bible tells us why we should not trust our hearts. Because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. You know, it's not a good thing to say, oh, God knows my heart, as if that's a good thing. God knows your heart, and that's a scary thing for you. Right? The Bible also tells us that our minds are disobedient. That's why we need to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So folks, how are your minds today? How are your hearts? Do you trust your judgment Do you trust your heart? Don't. They will lead you astray. And that's why Paul tells us in verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast. Stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So we're to stand firm in God, in Christ, in His affections, in His thoughts. We must train our minds, train our hearts to conform them to Christ. Now, there are 4 points in today's message. Firstly, stand firm in love. Secondly, stand firm in joy. Thirdly, stand firm in peace. And fourthly, stand firm in virtue, in virtuous thoughts. So firstly, stand firm in love. Now, in verse 1, the apostle already reminded the Philippians, whom he called beloved. What did he remind them? Stand fast, stand firm in the Lord. Now, this is a military term. It refers to a soldier remaining at his post no matter what happens around him. You know, this could also talk about a karate pose. You know, you stand firm and you stay there no matter who comes to attack you. You know, let the enemy attack. The soldier's instructions are clear. He does not move from his post. And this command is necessary because all of us struggle with standing firm. When adversities come, negative emotions come, what do? We give in to them. We indulge in them. Therefore, we need to stand firm. And the thing that we need to stand firm in, especially in a church, is love. What does Paul call us? Beloved. And if we are loved by God, what is our responsibility? We are to love. Isn't that what Jesus said? Or isn't that what the Apostle John says? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. 1 John 4:11. So this is a command from God. No matter what, we are to love. We are to love one another in church. Now, folks, we may not like one another very much. There are a whole bunch of you who are very unlikable. I'm very unlikable. I'm not going to force you to tell a lie, but am I likable? Sometimes, but not at other times. I'm an unlikable person because I'm a sinner. You are unlikable too, but we must love one another. We must love one another. We must love, right? Now, we see in verses 2 and 3 that problems exist in the church, okay? Problems exist between brethren. Sometimes they are small problems. Sometimes they are big problems. Sometimes small problems can turn into big problems. Now, I remember in my former church, one of the groups had a barbecue. So one of the ladies, you know, she went to buy all the meats that were required for marinating, and so she distributed the meat. So one lady got the chicken wings. So she lovingly prepared the chicken wings to separate the drumlets from the wings, and she cut off the wing tip, because no one eats the wing tip, and she threw them away, and then she marinated it. Then the woman who bought the, who was in charge of buying the thing says, this lady stole some chicken wings, because after cutting it, removing the wing tips, the volume was smaller. It ended up looking less. So the lady who bought the stuff accused the one of marinating, right, of stealing to other people. Small problem, small heart, wrong judgment, big problem. That can happen in a church. And these were women. Don't accuse me of sexism, right? the Bible even backs me up here, right? Verses 2 and 3 speaks of two women. Euodias, which means fragrant. Syntyche, which means fortunate. Well, unfortunately, they didn't get along. Euodias was not fragrant. She was odious. Syntyche was soon touchy, you know? So Paul besought them to be of the same mind. In other words, they were not of the same mind. They didn't have love for one another. You know, perhaps these two women, it was because of chicken wingtips. I don't know. Or because, well, in verse 3, it tells us that they were co-workers. Maybe they were ministry workers in the church. And they disagreed perhaps on something with regard to ministry. Whatever it was, the problem existed. And Paul called it out. This letter was read in church. Imagine, if you will, this letter was read in the Philippian church, and immediately, you know, when the names Euodias and Syntyche, I beseech them to be of one mind. What do you think people will do? Where's Euodias? Where's Syntyche? All eyes would be on them. What do you think Euodias and Syntyche would do? Right? Well, I'm sure that's what happened, right? Look, are we a small church? We're generally a small church. Do we know problems exist? Do you know problems exist between people? You want me to call it out? Right? But we know, don't we, how small problems are blown out of proportion. Why? Because we do not stand firm in godly affections. We do not choose to love. We who are beloved do not love. We don't tolerate one another. Now, the grizzly bear is one of the meanest animals in the forest. It can kill with one swipe of its paw. But there's one animal that the grizzly bear will not attack. You know what that is? The skunk, right? And it will even share its meal with the skunk, even though it's an enemy, right? The grizzly bear doesn't like the skunk, but it's better to coexist than to create a stink. You see, in churches, there are many skunks. Are you a skunk? Yeah, you are. Am I a skunk? Yes, I am. All right? We are all odious at one point or another. All right? And it makes sense for us, therefore, to grant one another grace to strive to be at peace. We have to show love. We have to be of the same mind. The mind of Christ, we've learned in the previous chapter, it is that of love and humility. You know, Christ came down to take the form of a servant, you know, to go through death and even the death of the cross. So we need folks to be in control of what we think about one another. Remember what 1 Corinthians 13 says? Charity believeth all things. So we need to stop judging unrighteously. Now, what if two people don't get along? What are we to do? Do we take sides? Well, we frequently do, don't we? Well, we're not to take sides. We're to be responsible to help them out in love. All right? These are our gospel obligations. Look, I don't have to point out Euodias and Syntyche. We all know various Euodiases and Syntyches in church. But we see here that the gospel obligation that we are to engage in is in verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. So what are they supposed to do? Right? Paul was saying, yoke fellow, help these women. Now, I'm not sure what the name of this yoke fellow was, right? And he was also saying, right, Clement, the others in church, help these two ladies. Now, when this was read out in church, what do you think people did? Clement, you got to help them. Oh, everyone is to help them. These people had a duty. Paul was telling them that these were their gospel obligations. They weren't merely to stand at the sidelines. They weren't to cheer for one player or the other, or they weren't to watch them fight to the death, but they were to help them to love one another. Right? So what would Jesus say about our church? We are to stand firm in love. We're to fight what we think about one another. The battle is in the mind. The battle is in the heart. And if we don't fight this battle, it will be bad. It will be bad for the church. Now, why did Paul mention the names of these two women? Why did he mention by name those who were to help them? Because he knew that small problems, if not dealt with, would become big problems. And because he knew that unless they did something about it, they wouldn't be able to face the other battles they had to fight. You know, when the British and the French were fighting the Anglo-French War in the Northern Hemisphere in Canada, they were fighting for control over Quebec. And so the British admiral came with his fleet, and he got there a bit early. Now, his instructions were, when the land troops come, then he was supposed to assist them in fighting against the French. So when he got there early, he was a bit disturbed when he saw the great Catholic cathedrals with all of these, you know, statues of saints on the parapets and whatever. So he used the cannons to shoot, right, and destroy these saints. By the time the land troops came to fight against the French, the admiral had no more ammunition. Why? Because he used it all up shooting at the saints. And that's what we frequently do. We fight against people in church. We breed suspicion and animosity, and that's not good for the church. So we are to stand firm in love. But secondly, we are to stand firm in joy. Now, Paul gives the commandment in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, the context is still adversity. When we go through adversities or when we have adversaries, hymn 364, yield not to temptation. And we see here in the very first stanza what we need to do. Yield not to temptation. Hymn 364, for yielding is sin.